T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We are joined right now by the former Cardinal, the former Met, the man who owned Randy Johnson, the current bench coach for the Chicago White Sox. I always think of Bob Murphy saying, the man affectionately known as Super Joe, and that is Joe McEwing. Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts here in New York. How are you?
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
No, we're doing all right. We're doing good.
Excellent.
Good.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming on. We are hopeful we're going to have a baseball season. How are you feeling right now about the prospect of getting back to work and there being a 2020 baseball season?
I'm itching to get going. There's always a day that always throughout the day you're sitting there going, I should be somewhere else. I should be somewhere else. We need to get back to work. So just itching to get going and hopefully, first of all, thoughts and prayers are with every single individual that is suffering through this and just trying to stay positive and throw out positive vibes so that we can get something going.
How about the proposal, the way, you know, the MLB wants to play the season? 82-game season, let's say it starts in July. You're probably only going to play teams in your division and maybe also, you know, in your geographic area from the other league. What's your overall thoughts on that, Joe?
I think, you know, trying to take the positive out of everything and as they're trying to be creative in every possible way to possibly to get back playing baseball again. And, you know, to take a moment of time and go out and continue to play the game to take the mind, to take the relief off of the minds of everything that's going on in the world. We're definitely excited, and hopefully we can get going shortly.
I want to talk a little bit about your career because I think you had a fascinating career, starting with the fact that in 1998, you called up, you're ready to make your major league debut, and you're doing it for the Cardinals in the midst of all the Mark McGwire hoopla that was going on. As a young player, what was it like being in that locker room, being in the dugout, and being part of a chase that really captured every baseball fan across the country for those 2 months?
Oh, my God. First of all, there's so many emotions that go into it. You know, getting caught up to the big leagues for the first time, you know, realizing your dreams, realizing your goals since you were 4 or 5 years old, and to be a part of history in the moment. And I was very fortunate to be there from 54 on through that September. And one I'm very thankful for and appreciate beyond belief. And to be on third base when McGwire hit 70 was extremely special.
And I hate to look at the negative of it, Joe, but I mean, and obviously nobody had any idea what was going to come, you know, because of that, right, with McGwire.
Well, you know, I think as you're going through it, you understand the magnitude of what is going on, and it's like you focus on what you have to do to survive on a daily basis and you don't see what's going on the outside. And it's unfortunate because Mark's an extremely amazing individual and thoughtful person and a true friend to this day. And they're extremely talented individuals. And so, you know, to see what has happened and what is going on around the negative publicity of it, it hurts. It hurts because he's a true friend and extremely talented and gifted baseball player and extreme, most of all, an amazing person.
What was it like for everybody in that room? Because the Cubs were in a pennant race. So the Cubs are, you know, dealing with Sammy Sosa's home run chase, but they're also probably scoreboard watching. Every game is so important. If memory serves correct, it was one of those rare years where the Cardinals weren't in a pennant race. They were out of it. Was the entire focus about Mark McGwire? What was it like over that final month where really that's the thing that's on the line for the Cardinals? The world is watching every at-bat Mark takes.
I think he never wanted that. He never wanted that, all that attention. He didn't want any part of that. I mean, his main objective, and which I learned from him every single day, was to go out and win a ball game every day. It didn't matter what scenario you were in. If you were 15 games back or 15 games ahead, his mindset was to win a baseball game every day and help a team win every single day. And, that's something that I continue to preach and live with every day.
Talking to Joe McEwing. Joe, you know, it's interesting because he winds up shattering the record. You know, he hit 62. He winds up going on to 70 that year. Did you ever think that maybe the pressure was ever getting to McGwire? Because it really never seemed like that was the case. How about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, at that time, that's when MLB opened the gates early for batting practice. So,
right.
I mean, there's 15, 20,000 people for batting practice.
Right, right, right.
I mean, we're going to cities that weren't getting 15, 20,000 people a game. And now all of a sudden there's 15, 20,000 people for batting practice. And we'd have to call ahead a week early if we weren't going to take batting practice. Or if Tony elected to give Mark a day off. And I remember we were in Montreal, and it was first time I ever played first base in the big leagues. And it was for McGwire. And when they announced that I was playing first base, you're getting booed. So, you know, the magnitude and the way it brings baseball back was pretty special to be a part of. And to see... I learned a lot to see what he went through on a daily basis of the grind of the media and the hype and you know, everything is focused on you, on him at that time, but just how to deal with it in a mental standpoint. And at the end of the year, he was physically exhausted, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, he did something in that moment that nobody has ever done in the history of the game, and it was pretty special.
You know, what I remember, and we're talking to Joe McEwing, who spent a couple of years with the Cardinals, obviously a few years with the Mets, and is now the bench coach for the White Sox, is after the Mets traded for you, Jesse Orozco for Joe McEwing, your return to St. Louis, they adored you. I think they gave you a standing ovation when you came back. Did you realize how much Cardinal fans loved you when you made your return to St. Louis?
You don't realize it in the moment, like as you're going through it, as you're playing, and because you do what you do every day. You go out and you compete, and you want to help your team win every day. And it was maybe one of the most special moments of my career. Our first game back, I was leading off, and I was on the on deck circle. I put the donut down, and as I'm walking up to the plate, receives a standing ovation. And, you know, St. Louis fans are extremely special. They love the game of baseball. They love the work ethic and people that go about it the right way. And when I took the donut off my bat and started walking, like so many emotions went through my body that, you know, I was getting a standing ovation in a visiting stadium, and you just felt so appreciated in that moment. And I didn't know how to react. I didn't know I didn't want to take away from everything that was going on as far as the game and who's on the mound. You know, I didn't want to upset any rhythm. And I wish I would have reacted differently. I wish I would have got out of the box and tipped my hat. I did tip my hat. But I wish I would have got out of the box and took my helmet off and acknowledged how amazing those fans were. I did it in a subtle way, out of respect for everybody who was on the field and in each dugout. So, you know, but it was an extremely special moment.
Now, how about the fact that you dominated Randy Johnson? Now, there's not many guys that can make that statement, but you certainly had his number over the years, Joe. How about that?
I don't know about dominate. I don't know. I mean, Randy was extremely, extremely talented and gifted. I mean, obviously a Hall of Famer and you know, I guess if it's called dominating a guy hitting 250 off him throughout your career, then that guy's pretty special. So, no, it was like everything you live for as a competitor, to go out and compete against the best. And I loved going out and competing against them. And, you know, there were certain situations where, you know, I had my plan, he had his plan, and fortunately, at times it worked out for me, but a lot of times it worked out for him as well.
Here's the thing, though. You hit Randy Johnson very well. Maybe not dominated, but you hit him very well. But you did dominate Tom Glavine. I looked up your numbers against Glavine. 8-for-23 with two home runs. That's pretty good. 348 is pretty good, but that's not all. He hit Greg Maddux to a 316 clip.
Wow.
And this is, look, I know this one's a little bit less, but you did go 2-for-3 against Pedro Martinez. So if you add all that stuff up, why, Joe McEwing, did you crush Hall of Fame pitchers?
You have? How about that?
It's very humbling. Thank you. Because it's the days I played. Everybody else didn't want to play on those days. So it was the days I played. No, again, I you know, these are individuals I admired from across the way, and I loved competing against. I loved their art and how they went about attacking a ball game and just studying and visualizing, you know, how they go about it. I respect it in so many ways. So on the offensive side, I was like, okay, how do I combat this to try? Because I know with the Atlanta guys. Okay, they're going to go way, way, way. They'll give you your single. They'll give you your single all day long, knowing that the next guy is going to try to get big and roll over, get a double play. So they'll give you your singles all day long. They will not try to miss in the heart of the plate where they can get hurt. So that was my approach. I would take my single, go the other way, and hopefully we continued the line all the way down. So that was always my approach against the guys in Atlanta.
Did you find that you focused more, Joe? I mean, when you're going up against those kind of guys, is the focus even a little more than normal against a guy like, you know, those
I
kind
wouldn't
of guys?
Say that. I wouldn't say that because I tried to train my mindset to be that focused on every single pitch, every single day. And it didn't matter who was on the mound because – in the end, you're just trying to do something to help your team win that day. Because there's no greater feeling than 25 guys shaking hands with a coaching staff, front office, at the end of the day. There's no greater feeling.
We're talking to Joe McEwing. You have coached. You have managed in the minor leagues. I don't think there's any doubt you're going to be a manager. It's going to happen in the next couple of years. Are you more like Bobby Valentine or are you more like Tony La Russa? What kind of manager is Super Joe?
I think I'm myself, but I'm myself that has learned from every single individual I've ever come across in this game, whether it be Bobby, Tony, Buddy Bell, George Kissel, every player I ever played with, that I want to constantly learn, and I pick brains. I ask questions and continue to learn to try to use it into my own of what I like, what I don't like, what I filter, what I get out, what I keep inside, and just try to mold it to my energy and what a team possesses. And you're dealing with 25 different personalities. Not only that, you, from top to bottom, you want a whole organization to be on the same page. And that's the way you're able to sustain it for a long period of time. If everybody from top to bottom, from ownership to the Dominican Summer League, is on the same page, then you're able to sustain a long winning tradition for a long period of time. And that's something I love to build. And I learned that. Ricky Renteria, our manager in Chicago, such an amazing individual, and I've learned so much from him about his ability to combine everybody from top to bottom is truly remarkable. And it's something that I cherish and try to continue to build with what I'm trying to do as a person and as a coach.
Joe, another thing that you did, again, we're talking to Joe McEwing, the versatility. I mean, you basically could play, you know, every position. I guess you probably did except catch. I think you probably even didn't even pitch once. You must have pitched at least once, didn't you, Joe?
I didn't pitch it. No, I didn't pitch in the big leagues. No.
You never did. But you played everything else beside pitcher and catcher, right?
Yes, yes. Exhibition game, actually, we were in after I got called up in 98, I went to Instructional League with the Cardinals, and they sent me to Instructional League to learn how to catch so that I could be the emergency catcher and utility guy. So I spent 3 weeks there, 4 weeks there in Instructional League and going through the daily. And it wasn't Dave Ricketts, one of the greatest catching instructors I've ever been around. We were in the cage at 5:45 in the morning, and it was every morning. Before he wanted me to get my work in before everybody else got there, so that it wasn't distracted from what was going on, that the players that were there. So it was dark out, the lights are on in the cage, and after day two, I'm like, Mr. Ricketts, my hips are not moving. I can't get down in that squat position. So we started off the day with drills on a stool because I couldn't get down into catch and crouch in the beginning. So after that, every single spring training, I would go with pitchers and catchers and, just catch bullpens in the beginning, still go get my ground balls. And then throughout spring training, I would go down to a minor league game and catch like three or four innings of like two games. So just in case that situation arose. So we're in Arlington, we're in Texas, and we're playing a two-game set after the end of spring training before the start of the season. Well, the forecast for the next day was, okay, the skies are going to open up, it's going to pour, we're probably not going to get this game in. So they sent our backup catcher to St. Lucie and the fifth starter to St. Lucie to go down and get the work in. So we get to the ballpark, skies open up, beautiful day, and it's the last day of spring training. Well, Piazza goes out and catches six innings, and there's no other catcher there. And obviously, our main goal was to get everybody healthy and get ready for opening day. So I had to catch the last three innings, and it was an amazing situation because after you're warming up the pitcher and it's like, okay, this is great. And then you realize when the umpire gets behind you, like, wait a minute, this doesn't start until I put my fingers down. So it was a good situation.
Did you ever catch in a regular season game, Joe?
No, I didn't.
You did not. Okay.
But I always clown Pete Walker. Pete Walker and I always go back and forth. Like every time I see him, I because the players around don't know the situation, I go, hey, tell him who your favorite catcher was. And it was Pete Walker who I caught those last three innings. So
we're talking to Joe McEwing. Do you do anything as far as preparing for this season right now, or is everything in a holding pattern? Because the White Sox had a hell of an offseason. You guys brought in Encarnacion and Gio Gonzalez and Yasmani Grandal, so the White Sox have a real shot. Is there anything to do right now, or is it more just a wait and see mode for what's going to happen?
No, we're continuing conversation with players. I mean, we built something very, our front office ownership built something very, very special in the offseason. And by bringing in the right guys, a group of quality veterans that are professionals and, with the core that we have to build something that's sustainable for a long period of time. So we started that process in spring training, and when everything got shut down, we're ready to go at that point. And we're just continuing conversations so that we don't lose that. And I think that's where, as an organization, as Ricky, we continue to build that bond so that once this gets going, we're ready to go.
We're talking to Joe McEwing. When you interview for a managerial job, I've always been curious, and I think you interviewed for the Met job, I think the Tiger job back in the day. What is that experience like for a guy when they're going for an interview? Are they like quizzing you on the team? Are they quizzing you on your strategy? What is a managerial interview even like?
First of all, it's extremely humbling, because for your name to be mentioned and then to possibly go interview for, there's only 30 jobs in the world.
Right.
And I'm honored, first of all, to be even thought of in that conversation. And then to go through the process, you learn each time something new. And, that's what I've been very fortunate. I've been on a couple. I've been on 7 or 8 interviews, and to see which each one is totally different. And the process, along with myself, I want to be prepared best as possible. I do my research. I do my work as far as knowing the minor league system, free agency, payroll, where every category is lined up. And I go in, and most of all, I just try to be me. I just try to be me. And if it's good enough, it's good enough. If not, then I respect the process. I respect the decisions. And I know at the end of the day, just as I was as a player, I was prepared for the situation and ready to lead an organization. And one thing is, it will never define who I am as an individual. It's an ultimate goal, yes, for sure. It's an ultimate goal to manage, but it will never define who I am as a player, coach, whatever in that category. But I know when I go in, I'm prepared, I'm ready to go. And if it's not enough, it's not enough. And I respect that. I respect that decision. All I know is I can give you all of me and whatever that is. If an organization was ready to hire me, then I'm ready to go and fully committed.
Well, Joe, best of luck. We appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we'll be seeing baseball real soon. I mean, the White Sox definitely have a chance to compete, and we look forward to watching. And thank you very much for coming on with us today.
I appreciate it beyond belief. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you, man. Joe McEwing, the former Cardinal, the former Met, and currently the bench coach for the Chicago White Sox.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.